Welcome to Real Money with Lisa Chastain. Over the next hour, you will hear from leading industry experts how to establish financial confidence and freedom. Her guests will motivate and inspire you to make those financial decisions that you have been thinking about for weeks and maybe even years. Now, here's your host, Lisa Chastain.
We're here for another Monday, for another show. I'm so excited to be here with one of my favorite people, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. So we were planning on having you on the show. What was it? November?
Yes.
In November. And then you got sick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was December.
It was in December.
Yeah. Yeah. God, that was nasty.
Yeah. Well, we're still not out of the woods with a lot of people in the winter season. So if you're listening to this in bed, tucked in, not feeling so great, we're so glad that you're here. And we're wrapping you in lots of love and a warm hug right now. I have so many things that I'm excited to share today with my guest, Glenda. First of all, y'all, she's cool as shit. Like, she's one of the coolest human beings that I know, so much so that she can't get rid of me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. And we've been on this journey together for like, it feels like forever now. We've been friends forever, but maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I think so. It's, yeah, it'll be coming up on five.
5 years. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Blessed five, I tell you.
Totally. Totally. I feel the same way. Yeah. What I want to say to our listeners, first of all, as always, I'm so grateful that you've chosen to spend your time with us today. You have a million ways that you can be spending your time, whether you're driving, whether you're cooking, whether you're sleeping in bed, or just looking for some motivation in between whatever you're in between today. I'm really grateful that you're here. So I take your time very seriously, and I know this is going to be a great conversation. What I will say is with our show, the intro to the show says that we'll have a lot of experts on the show, and we do. I have a good handful of money experts. We have an episode coming out with one of my favorite women, Seisha, who is a financial advisor. And so I try to bring in different experts, mm-hmm. depending on the time of year, depending on what's going on in the world. And also what I would say to the word expertise when it comes to money or life is that we are our own experts in life because of what we've lived through. And Glenda, I consider you in so many ways your own expert. You've worked really, really hard in these last 5 years to become your own like financial leader, champion of finances. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. So for everyone who's like, wait, I thought we were going to have experts. Well, yeah, we do, because every woman that's on my show is an expert in her own way. So welcome to the show officially, Glenda.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself to the audience?
Okay. I'm Glenda. I'm a mother of four and a widow.
Yeah.
It's so strange to say that because mm-hmm. it hasn't been that long. Whoever thought, you know, mm-hmm. you just never think of things like that. And I'm an herbalist. Call myself a wise woman. So that's my passion, and that's what I love doing. Mm-hmm. And I have two beautiful grandchildren that I adore, and I'm blessed to be able to live with and, you know, participate in their life. And just, you know, it's what I always dreamed of, you know, having close family and everything. And we're getting there.
It's you are.
A journey and a road. However, we are getting there. And thanks to your help, I'm doing a whole lot sooner than what I ever thought. Or I don't know, without you, I don't know if I would have even achieved what I have, you know, because I truly believe that we need somebody to help us mentor and to be there and to show us. I mean, there's a lot we can do on our own, I believe, but it's always good to have somebody by your side.
Totally. Totally. I agree. So let's take our listeners on the journey of how we met. And then what I'd love to do is share your journey, because even in the last 5 years, you've been through a lot, mm-hmm. But you have a whole life's worth of lessons and journeys to share to our listener today. So the premise to the show is, in particular, what I do know, and I always say this on every show, is that there's someone in this moment, whether they're listening live or whether they're listening to the podcast version of the show or watching on YouTube, is that they need to hear from you today. Not even me necessarily, but they need to hear something from you. And I truly believe that. And also for the younger women that are listening to this show right now, through your journey, I want them to know and hear that their life has just begun. because when we're young, we don't always feel that way. And for you reinventing yourself in your 50s, now into your 60s, I think it's a really powerful message that like life is just beginning whenever you say so.
It is.
You know?
I agree with that. Yes.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So just a little short history of how we met. And then I want to take the listener on your journey because I hope someday your daughters listen to this and your grandkids can listen to this and really appreciate the journey that you've been on. Mm-hmm. So we met in a local networking group.
Yes.
Do you remember the actual event that we were at when we met?
You know what? I don't, because I followed you. I was like, oh, I was so drawn to you. Yeah. And there was something there and I sort of stalked you.
Oh, you did? Yes. I love it. So if you're stalking me, that's cool. We're going to be friends. Okay.
I did in a way. And it was like, I just knew I needed to meet you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made it happen.
You did.
And I was so scared. It's like, oh, you know, because you're just so amazing and wonderful. And I really saw something and I was like, oh, I want that.
And that's so fun.
I went, because you're just so open and so loving and compassionate and charismatic and that. And so I was just like, you had those qualities. And I was like, oh. You know, I mean, in my age, I think you can always learn something from somebody, you know, at any time. And that, and that's the thing, we have to keep growing. Mm-hmm. We need to keep growing, mm-hmm. you know, because in my mind, I am not my age.
No.
My body's saying another thing, like, whoa, whatever. But, you know, so it's just trying to keep everything up together.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
It does.
And so, yeah. So I did. And then I got up the nerve and I asked, I think I asked you for coffee. Mm-hmm. I was like, will you meet me? All timid. Because before that, my journey was just on that treadmill. I was on that treadmill and you gave me that hope, you know, like, mm-hmm. okay, there's more, I can do more, which I knew, I just didn't know how to get there, you know, and what roadmap or what to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And we had that. And I was thinking about that because, oh my gosh, I think I told you from probably from the embryo, my whole story.
On that coffee date?
Yes. Yeah. And you were so sweet. You listened to me. And I was like, oh, and you just wanted a little snap. Gave you everything.
You're like, well, I started walking when I was 18 months years old. I'm like, okay, we're in this now. Let's do this. No, I don't remember the whole conversation.
Yeah.
What I do remember about that conversation, we met at Coffee Bean.
Mm-hmm.
In like town center, somewhere in Summerlin. And I remember thinking like, you were very shy and very nervous. And I was like, all right, we're hanging out. Like, I don't know exactly what called me here, but here we are. But I knew even in that meeting that I was like, we're going to hang out. We're going to do this. And I didn't know what that meant. But at the time you were interested in money coaching. So we kind of walked down that path for a little while.
Yeah.
What was going on in your life at that time? I know what was going on in your life at that time, but for the listener, what was going on in your life at that time?
Right. Well, as all things, life, you know, I guess, you know, when you first start out in your teens or your 20s and you have these visions and that, and then, you know, you have kids, you have family, then you need to work, and it just, things were not going where I always thought they would be, I guess. And so, it was like I ended up taking a part-time job at Starbucks, and it was like, oh, this is just temporary. Yeah, 12 years later,
right.
Retired from there. It was just something because I was, you know, I always wanted to do herbs are my thing, my passion, and I love them. And I always wanted to do that or some sort of coaching because life coaching and health coaching mm-hmm. degrees. I have a couple of those. When I do something, I just do it mm-hmm. big because nutrition, because of my past, is something that's always been big in health and, you know, all that holistic, mm-hmm. holistic thing. So I wanted to try and get that going in my life. However, I never could. I don't know. I think life also was going on with husband and kids, and now they're in their 30s. But at that time, and I just lost my vision and my dream. And so I was like shrinking going further and further inside, and I didn't know what to do. And so when I was at my wit's end, I think, when I met you, it was like, it was deep. And then one day I looked around and I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I? You know, who am I? And it's like, I had lost myself because I'm putting everything into my family. And so that was, you know, one of the things. And it was just, like I said, I saw that something in you, that spark. And mm-hmm. It was like, oh, there's something there. So that is what I was holding on to.
Yeah.
Dropping on, like, okay, Lisa.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah. So you were at Starbucks, and Starbucks really wasn't going anywhere. And I remember you just being really frustrated mm-hmm. with Starbucks. And also, so you, this was like five, let's say it was 5 years ago. So you were 57. That time, 56, 57-ish.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. And just like done. We're just done with Starbucks, done with the rat race, done with the being, I mean, you were around like 20-year-olds that were like high on coffee all day long and like energetically just not a match anymore, right?
Right.
And go ahead.
Well, it was just so unfulfilling for me. I didn't know how to get out of it though. It was a source of income. It was pretty decent. And, you know, so not knowing where to go next because nothing else was panning out. I just didn't know where to go or what mm-mm. to do. So that's why I thought, you know, that's, I do have the ability in me to ask for help, which I'm grateful for. I don't know everything. I don't want to know everything. Just what I need to know when it needs to come.
Totally.
And I'm good with that, you know? So that was just one of the things, and I knew it was the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was what we started working on pretty quickly, was getting clarity. Mostly I remember our first few sessions was like really getting clarity on your money, like what you were making mm-hmm. at Starbucks, which was like nothing, you know, it felt like you were working a lot and maybe bringing home, I don't know, are you comfortable sharing that? I think it was somewhere around like maybe $1,000 a month.
Yeah, I think so, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a part-time.
Yeah.
It's a part-time job, yeah.
Yeah, so you had benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that was really a big plus on that. Because at the time, bless him, my husband, you know, he took care of all the household stuff. Mm-hmm. So my money was my money in that. However, it just wasn't enough to take me where I needed to go or what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. you know? So, it was good, you know, with him being there at that point.
Yeah.
And all.
Yeah.
It was helpful.
And you're living with, your daughter and son-in-law and their kids. Mm-hmm. And like you have this family of support in the household, but still, one of the first things we were like, all right, GTFO, Operation GTFO out of Starbucks. Like, come on, we got to get you out of there. Cause you knew energetically it was just like not the right fit.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, what was it that you wanted to do with your life? And like, I know you're still working on so many of these pieces, right. But what was your real passion?
Right. Well, I know that I've always been drawn, like I said, to the holistic side of things. And I like helping people and women, especially, and, you know, having three daughters and one son, and women hormonal right now, it's epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the female problems, you know, not being able to get pregnant and that. And that's like a passion because I went through some things with that, you know, in my early years. And so that's what got me into the herbs and the health and the nutrition and everything like that. That was a big thing that got me there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my passion is to help women.
Yeah. And you weren't doing that at Starbucks.
Yeah, not serve coffee and get people jacked up and high. Or caffeinated out and crazy.
Yeah.
So health coaching, I was looking help with you to also do health coaching and do more of herb things. Teaching, I think, has always been one of my things. And it's just not knowing how to do it.
Right.
Where to go.
Yeah. A lot of people who have passions in life don't know how to make it an actual business or make money doing it. And what I think is so cool about your story is you were like in it. You have done the work. You have learned so much about money and building a business. And we're going to talk about what you were able to accomplish with your own, with your own line and your own product, which is freaking phenomenal. Let's take a step back really quick though. So to connect all of the dots for the listener, there was this journey that you and I have been on together over the last 5 years, and not just from coach and like, you know, you're not from client and coach, but like just now we're friends. Now we just love each other.
We'd be friends. We're best friends.
When like growing up and thinking about your journey with money, what was life like for you growing up and then becoming a mother financially? What was all that like?
Okay. Well, I've done a lot of work on this, looking at this, because that is so important of how you're raised in that. And my daddy is from Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, and dirt poor. Mm. He was dirt poor, and cardboard walls. His daddy was a drunk, and there was always a tab at the bar, but there was no food at the house. And so my father is, he just grew up in that where, what is the word that I'm looking for? I just blanked out. That it was like he needed to hold on to things.
So he became a hoarder. Not really.
Not a hoarder, but not having anything.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're safe and that you, so it applies to food and work hard.
Right.
You got to work hard. All those adages that, that you always hear, money doesn't grow on trees. And then, so it, frugal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then that's one of the things I would say is like being frugal, because of scarcity. Frugal and scarcity. Those are two big words that I grew up with, I guess you'd say.
Your dad's in his 80s now, right?
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Upper 80s, going strong as ever.
Yeah.
Cantankerous. But and so he's still to this day, you know, like he doesn't get how one of my daughters is paying $3,000 for this. It's a really nice condo, but it has all of these amenities and that. And he goes, why does she need that? And I go, Dad, you're not... That's their dream. You know, that's, they don't think like you do. There's such a generational age gap on money and everything else. And he's so tight fisted. And he's wealthy, of course, because
he worked hard for it.
He did. He did. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he can do whatever he wants. And I'm so happy for him. And that doesn't mean that I want it or anything like that. I want him to spend it and enjoy it. However, he just doesn't know how to because of that mentality and that mindset.
How did that transcend in your childhood?
So it was for me, and being a daddy's girl, you know, for me, it's like wanting to please. I'm a people pleaser, working on that.
You're not alone. Welcome to all of us. We're all people pleasers in my world. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So I'm doing that. And so I followed him into appraising and, you know, just doing it. I am good. Oh, pretty much overall, I think I'm good with money. I can bring money in and that. And what I was having issues with my husband of 40 years is that he was a free-for-all spender type thing in that. So I would bring the money in and then rebuild and different things like that. So,
you had that sensibility that your dad raised you with.
Mm-hmm.
And I know having worked with you, you like, you know, the absence of money makes you feel really like scared and uncertain.
Yeah.
But then Stephen, on the other hand, was more free. And that for you was challenging, shall we say.
Yes.
Yeah, that was challenging.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was. However, it's an overcompensation, I think, mm-hmm. because for me, it's like just having some there, but I, you know, like, and if it is gone, I can bring it back in some ways. And then others, it's just such a paradox. I don't know how.
You and I are very similar in money personalities. And you like Jimmy was on the show just a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about this where, because I was raised that way, but very sensible. My parents are like super cheap chips. I have that sensibility about me, but I'm also delusional Delilah. So are you, where we think big and dream big and we want to do these different things. And so that's like a push and it's a tug of war sometimes, because you want to do all these things, but then you want to also make sure that you are taking safe calculated risks.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I think that was probably, that's where you were when we met. It's like you mm-hmm. have all these things you wanted to do, but you also need to make sure you had money. And then if Stephen's spending all the money, you're like, ah, you know, and he was also in control of the money.
Yes.
Stephen was.
Yeah.
Was that your whole marriage?
No, because he was just so loose. I had taken it. And then I guess in a way he sort of felt
emasculated.
Did I say D?
Yeah. Demasculation.
The new
something
term.
Like that.
So it was like he woke up, and then so he took everything back, and then he took control of it. And it was like, okay, you're paying for it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Let me do my thing. And it didn't make him happy, but it just made him, I guess, be him.
Sure.
You know, so.
Sure.
One of those things. But so that was, it could be frustrating too with not having control, but wouldn't talk about money. He was one that, Stephen, my husband, was one that he didn't talk about it.
No.
Because I can get deals and I can find things, and he didn't want to. He would pay extra. I just paid off the water softener.
And that was like a thorn in your side.
Yeah, 6 years. It could have been paid off sooner. And he's like, nah, it's 57. I was like, all the interest that you are giving them that we could, I don't care. It gives me some extra money now. So mm-hmm. he was just that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so we would have our little thing about it.
Yeah. Being in your 50s, not knowing what you know now, what were some things that you felt really good about in your life in your 50s? And then we'll shift gears and talk about the things that you wanted to and inevitably did change. What was working for you?
If anything.
I know.
Within the 50s, to be honest, it was hard. That was a hard time for me because like I said, I had lost myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who I was. So having that little spark of hope that things would change and grow, you know, like for me getting out of Starbucks, I went to an herbal shop because that was closer to my herb dream.
Definitely.
You know, so that was a really good thing because I didn't know what I was going to do after Starbucks, you know, mm-hmm. but once I had that opportunity, because at 12 years, at that time, I think they've upped it now, you know, I have Starbucks for life. Woo. Woo-hoo. Like, and I take it. I don't drink the coffee all that much, but I'll get that pound of coffee.
And
I'll take that 30%.
Right.
Whatever. You know, I earned it. But yeah, so that was a time of really reflecting and like, who am I? What do I really want? And mm-hmm. and trying to soul search. And it wasn't easy.
I remember all those conversations. And this is
tears.
And tears.
The tearful conversations.
I do. And this is what I'll say. The woman that is here today on the show is the woman that was like screaming to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you would have known Glenda, and many of you listening to this show, probably we have a lot of women in the community who might be listening to this who knew you back then, and even networking, you were I'm going somewhere with this, so follow me with this, but you were a very shut down version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And behind that shutdown was anger and a little spice, a lot of spice, actually, a lot of heart. And it was just shut down. And this is a very common experience for women in their 40s and 50s today.
Yeah.
That you lose yourself and then generationally you were shut down. And then you were having been married for 40 years, like in this marriage and really committed to your marriage and your kids and all the things. And over the past 5 years, you've just walked steadily closer and closer and closer to you. Mm-hmm. And 4 minutes till break already. Jeez Louise. And so what I'll say is that for anybody who's listening, if that's your experience in life right now, that you're feeling shut down, that your voice doesn't matter, that you don't know who you are anymore, that you're lost, that your kids are growing up, that you don't recognize the life that you wanted, that there's hope.
Yes, there is. I can attest to that.
Yes, there's hope. And so what we'll do when we get back from the break is talk about the things that you were able to create as a result of saying, hey, you know what? I want more. Raised your hand. And the one thing about you is that you always show up, even on bad days. There's every now and then, like we all do, you're like, I'm just not feeling it. Like, I'm out. I'm going to check out and stay in bed today. But you continue to show up for yourself.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about all the ways that you're doing that today. But it's so, it's like kudos to you, really, like a testament to you and how really like your best is yet to come.
Yes, I do believe that. And I see it.
Yeah.
It is getting closer.
It's here.
It's here. It is.
Girl, I remember this like 2 years ago, we were practicing. You were going to be interviewed, or you did end up getting interviewed doing your herbalist work, talking about women's health. And you were like, so stage fright.
I know.
You were so stage fright.
I was about to pass out. I think. Oh my gosh. What is this? That's an ego.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also wanted to get it right because you do care.
Yeah, that perfectionism, you know, it's that is in there, and I think that it's just very common.
It is
for some reason in this day and age, we just feel we have to know everything and be right. My 6-7-year-old now, she's 7. My granddaughter, it's like she will argue tooth and nail with you. And it's like, you have got to stop this. And I think all of my kids, you know, having to be right. So letting that go. There was a lot of stuff I let go.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in the next segment. How many minutes do we have, Ash? 1 minute? 1 minute till break? If you're a woman in particular, but this men go through this as well. That's why we have people that go through midlife crises in their 40s. I think they're happening even younger in life. I think people in their 30s have awakenings now, being like, what's my life? And millennials and younger, I think, are even more like they're not having it, yeah. You know, but if you're a woman today listening to the show and you're in your 50s and you're feeling lost, I want you to hang on with us and come back and listen to Glenda's story, because among the being lost, there's a lot of great nuggets about her journey that I hope and I believe will inspire you to keep going and find your own path, your own journey, your own place in life, because life doesn't end in your 50s. It's just getting started. I really believe that. And really of any decade, that can be true, but for Glenda's story in particular. So thank you for listening. I'm Lisa Chastain, your host of Real Money. Come back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to keep talking about Glenda's story of from being lost and working at Starbucks to now living a life that she really loves. And I want you to hear all about that. Come back in just a minute or two on Real Money.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Not enough women are talking about money, and I am on a mission to change that. The truth is, so many women feel shame and guilt about the choices they are making financially. And if this is you, I want you to hear today that you are not alone. We are so capable of feeling confident about the choices we are making with our money. The problem is that for so many women, money isn't relatable. Industry experts are talking over your head, and this show is the perfect place for you to improve your confidence and relationship with money. With Real Money, I share real stories of women who are tackling their most difficult financial challenges. We are here to help you hear and understand that you are not alone in feeling lost or confused about your finances, so that you can build your confidence to learn how to make the right choices today. With Real Money, you're going to learn from other women how they tackle their biggest money challenges, so that you can get out there and start creating the stability, freedom, clarity, and fun you've always wanted. Join me, Lisa Chastain, each week as we talk about real money with real women for real life.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. If you have a question for Lisa or her guests, you can call into the show at 866-472-5789. That's 866-472-5789. You can also send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Here is Lisa Chastain.
It's me. I'm back with Glenda. Hi.
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 Hi. So no. I have these cards, power thought cards. Actually, Glenda gave me these cards from Louise Hay. Came in a beautiful box last year sometime. Mm-hmm. And we pull these cards actually often on the show. Not every show, but pretty often for a guest. So this is Glenda's card today. I turn every experience into an opportunity. Each problem has a solution. All experiences are opportunities for me to learn and grow. I am safe.
Yes.
Dang, that's a perfect card for you.
They always are.
I love it. They really are. We were just talking on the break about anxiety.
Yes.
And you have had a lot of anxiety over the course of your life. Would you say that's true?
At times. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing it everywhere. Just not me. And, it seems that we're such an anxiety-ridden society, human beings are. And that's one of the things that I'm going into now is the letting go, I guess. Everything will come. I'm not real woo-woo, foo-foo, mm-hmm. but I am that, and I am and I'm not, mm-hmm. I guess. So, but that anxiety, and it doesn't help anything. I'm seeing that in me, and that's really what I'm looking at, because, yes, I have been anxious, and, it didn't serve any purpose.
Where did it come from for you, thinking about, I remember in particular the transition from Starbucks to the herbal store. You went from basically one minimum wage job to another. Mm-hmm. And the difference was, I think that at the herbal store, you were working more like you were working full time.
Yeah.
So you were in this, even though you were more aligned with the environment, mm-hmm. And being an herbalist. So are you a master herbalist?
I'm certified herbalist.
A certified
herbalist. And I'm working on my master herbalist degree.
Right. So you freaking know your shit when it comes to herbs. So for anybody listening, if you want to know how herbs can heal your life, Glenda's your woman. You practice that, you practice what you preach. So being in that environment, working full time, still you were really rubbing up against it. And what was it at that point, even just, what was that, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
3 years ago. What were you rubbing up against in yourself at that time?
Well, knowing what I know, mm-hmm. and being able to express it. And that's, I think, one of the big issues that have come up is that I'm an airhead, Libra, but it's not like ditzy.
No.
I just come to conclusions different than what other people normally would. I don't think linear. I don't. And so for me to be me, I just got to let up my freak flag fly. I don't know, because I get there and Stephen's like, I don't know how. He's like, okay, but we'll come to the same conclusion. I'll just do this whole different route. And so I think with that, it was still, I was under control of somebody who just different alignments. We were not aligned you know, on purposes, agendas, that type of thing, and letting me be me. I was controlled to a degree. And so that was the big rub. And it's in the industry that I loved and to learn and everything else. However, for me not to be me. And that is what I've had throughout my life, I guess, is me being me and doing my thing isn't aligned with people that I have been around. And so that rubs. It's mm-hmm. hard. Like I'm in this box and I'm squiggly.
You sir, yes. I love that you said that, because that's totally what I was going to say is at the end of it, because you ended up leaving the store. At the end of it, you're not meant to be an employee.
No.
And you really don't like it when people tell you what to do.
No.
You don't.
No.
Yeah. And that's for our listeners too, because I think that's maybe part of why you felt lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you lost yourself is that you were being like pounded into some, you know, having to show up to work, having to do something that you could be doing on your own. Like you need the freedom.
Yes.
And you're so capable, but when you don't have it, you were like all pent up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, and then, and then we were working on me getting out, because all my finances, you had helped me to just do miraculous stuff with my money and give me a lot of freedom us working together. That's just amazing.
Can you give one tip? So one thing that I taught you, or one thing that you learned that made a big difference?
Well, for me was the money tracking.
Yeah.
Money tracking. Yeah. Having it down, seeing it. And I love spreadsheets now. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
That's one of the things. I'm a creative. However, I do like logical. I can do logic stuff really well.
You're very visual.
And so the spreadsheet, that helped me tremendously, because then I didn't have to think and there was no unknown of like, what do I have? What, you know, where can I spend? I know what I can spend. I know what I need to do. And all my bills are marked out. Pay off this, you know, work on paying things off and stuff. That's given me the freedom the most. I love it. I look at it all the time. Like, oh, I look at my bank account every day. And, you know, having money in there and seeing it is just, it's a good feeling.
Totally, totally good feeling. So yep. When we first met, you can watch this show on YouTube and I have my little notepad. Glenda, when we first met, she was writing down all of her bills on a yellow steno pad or whatever you call it, right?
Legal pad.
And it was a very painful experience knowing, you know, just reflecting on it. And this is a lot of people, so I'm not just talking to you, Glenda, right? But like you would write everything down and then you'd have your bill and then you'd like lose track and then you'd have to write it down again. Yeah. And then, you know, so the worksheets, I don't use apps like budgeting apps or anything for that reason. The tracking is such a more active experience. And for you, you can really more easily see where you're going to be and all of that. So that was helpful for you.
Right. It does, because I can look at the sheet, and now even this week, some unexpected expenses came up and it's like, okay, what do I need to do? So put something on a credit card for now and then house pays it back. And I can see what the numbers and how much, if it is in the negative or how much is left over. So it's all visually there and it's the easiest thing ever.
Yeah. You really embraced that.
Yeah.
Which is great, because there are some people at your age who would say, I can never do that. It's not possible. And you really sunk your teeth into it. You're so smart. And you're like, I'm going to get this. I'm mm-hmm. going to figure this out. And you really have. You really have. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So just track your money.
Yep.
Track your money. And she has like different pots of money for different things. And that's helped you stay organized. Yes. That was a journey, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But yeah, I'm just really super proud of you for taking all of that on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. At the first, it's like, it was too much. But now it's like, I get it. And that's that being open.
Right. Being open to it, being open to new possibilities. So do you want to talk about your line, your product line? Can we do that? Everything. Okay. So you're an herbalist, and I had never heard of this before, which is Yoni Steams.
Yes.
Which is not exactly where you started, but it's kind of where you trended because you saw the opportunity, you saw the market opportunity of it.
Yes.
So probably for like 2 years while you were working full-time at the store, you were also creating your own product line.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actively selling it now, but that was a dream that you had had. That was something you always wanted to do. What was that process like for you?
Because of procrastination, perfectionism, and that type of thing, and also being, you were my saving grace on this, because if I would have done that, I don't know if I would have been able to do it, but some people that I was working with, they are in that business. They sell products and everything else. So they were guiding me, but they put me through a ringer that I did not need to go through. And nobody else in the store who put products in needed to go. They didn't have to. Mm-hmm. It was just the standard that they had for me. So it was, it wasn't really easy, but I also made it harder because I know Lisa was, she helped me through this. And it's like, you really worked with me to help me to do it as easy as possible. And I put the roadblocks up, you know, and that, and now I look back and I see, but it was also very exciting. You know, my product mm-hmm. is in a store, you know, and on the shelf. And,
what's the product?
The Yoni Steams and the Lingam Steams. So yeah. I had that. And I was working on, like I said, I've worked a lot with men because prostate for men is huge. It's a big problem. And for women, it's the reproductive system. However, a lot of women think, when older women, when you say reproductive, well, I'm in menopause and that, it doesn't matter. It's the ovaries and that type of a thing. And that's for life. Mm-hmm. It's not because you're menstruating in that. It's for every stage. We need to keep herbs and that. So that was a big focus on that. So the steams were to help on that. And that's what I used. And that's what we decided on, and that I decided on, and that we worked for. It's a beautiful package.
It is.
Beautiful label.
It is.
Also, I had started some other products. The only thing in this day and age now with shipping, mm-hmm. that was just the whole thing, because I was selling on Etsy. But you have to pay so much if you're a small company.
Sure.
For shipping. So yeah. That was just one of the things. But yeah, it was a lifelong dream making some products, and knowing that they're good products,
yep.
and that they work and all, that was just wonderful.
Yeah, and you didn't give up. I mean, I know there's some very frustrating days, and like learning all the things, learning how to make your own labels,
yes.
and just constantly for like 2 years, you were constantly stepping outside of your own comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of our clients, everyone that we have the opportunity to work with in my world, it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
If you want something that's not familiar, if you want something that's not what you're at right now, you have to constantly step outside of your own comfort zone. And because you've done that, I don't even recognize the woman that I see today.
Yeah.
You're like a totally different person. Like, she looks the same, but you know, but you
yeah, internally different.
Totally. Totally. You're like so much stronger.
Yes.
Mentally, physically, everything.
Yeah.
And you advocate for yourself more now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Of course. Yeah. And I think a lot of that coming because of, I think the other thing that I would like to say working with you is that the stress for everybody, you're never too young to be prepared for somebody passing.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you want to talk about that on the show?
Sure.
So,
I think that's very important.
So important. Yeah. So we had been working together for two, three years.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were working full time
during COVID.
And that was very stressful.
Yes.
And Stephen had been laid off.
Yes.
Right. So Stephen was home full time. And then it was it September 2021?
Yes.
September 2021, the whole house got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Except for me.
Except for you.
I was doing my herbs every day.
That's right. But you were still working full time.
But working full time.
And then everyone got sick and Stephen ended up getting COVID and passed away 3 months?
It was a month. Yeah, it was a month. He was in the hospital and fighting for his rights and all. That was just horrendous. But yeah.
Yeah.
So in October, he passed.
October 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And being on this journey, right? You were on this journey of creating your own thing, your own life, your own rhythm, your own flow, your own voice. You had a handle on your money.
Yeah.
And this was a big event. And so we won't hash all of the details out. And who you are on the other side of this, to your point, has been something I think that's really inspiring, to your point that you've just got to prepare.
Yes. Yeah, I would. That was the hardest thing. It was like we were just getting to a next level in my business and everything, and had plans, and then him getting sick and going in the hospital, and I stopped working to take care of him and also to go every day. Mm-hmm. And that, and then like after, you know, I was with this man for 40 something years, you know.
How old were you when you met?
23. I think 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was just a shock. And then having to go through all that process of taking care of the funeral things and not knowing, and knowing him for this long and all that, knowing what he wanted, that helped. But to have something laid out and all, and so then from there, and it's like changing things over, and you know, if somebody passes close like that to you, give yourself a year. I get why they always did the mourning for a year, because that's what it took for me, you know, because you have your ups and downs and there's so much. There's still a couple of things left that I need to do, like paying off that water softener.
High yes. five, you did it.
That was And so paying off that, and, you know, getting his name, changing names over. And my husband was just, he was those silent type, mm-hmm. gruff, you know, and loving. He just didn't know how to express his feelings, but he was so sensitive and all. And so trying to find passwords and trying to get in, I still can't get into his phone.
No, nope.
Nobody will, it's a brick. It's just... And it was a brand new phone,
yeah.
You know, not having that. And so searching, so having things laid out. And I do tell people now, I tell the younger, like, get a will, have some sort of a will, have a power of attorney. You know, like we put our house in a trust. So that's safe for the family and all, and doing all that. And that was something. It took us
a long
year,
time,
you know, walking through that. Thank God. You know, I'm so blessed that you were there with me for that too. You've been there. And so have the trust, but like, what is it, the power of attorney that mm-hmm. went for the hospital?
The health power of attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Medical power of attorney.
Medical one.
Yeah.
Definitely have that, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that. Just be prepared, because I was not. And it was so stressful.
It was. There were some lessons learned there. So I think this would be really valuable for the listener. As a married woman, you were already taking steps to become even, I wouldn't say independent per se at that time. It wasn't like you were like, I want to be an independent woman, but you really did want to manage your life and start moving in a more free kind of way. Like mm-hmm. freedom was definitely a word that I would have, like, you were on a journey to be free.
Yeah.
Free from the man, quote unquote. Like, you didn't want to work for someone. You wanted your own thing going on.
Right.
You started to manage your own money and your finances in a totally different way. You got out of debt, which yes. we didn't talk about, but yep. you paid off credit cards and like really owned it. And then with Stephen getting sick, to your point, there were a lot of things that you still weren't prepared for. Yeah. And as a wise woman, because you introduced yourself as a wise woman, there are things that you can teach other women now, having gone through that experience. And one of those things with Stephen was that you couldn't get into his friggin' phone.
Yeah. No password. You could just... We would have notes all over. I had to go through every single yeah. paper, and it's just like piles and piles. And there'll be a password here, like try it on this or that type of a thing. Mm-mm. So I have a password book. You know, it's kept in a safe place. Anyways,
yeah,
you know, something like that. So as the trustee, mm-hmm. of my estate and all, I've given instructions, and it's so much easier. And then so my father, you know, who's 87, it's like he saw me go through this, and he was there, and he stepped up, and he was wonderful. You know, he's been wonderful in being there and helped me out financially and different ways. That also has helped me get that freedom. And so now he has changed his wills and different things, gotten everything up to speed and that, because he saw what I had to go through. And he's like, I don't want people to have to worry about it, because it's horrible. I've seen, like, when Stephen's mother passed, it was like the fighting, the just greed and all of that. And I don't want my kids. So I took it out of my kids' hands. And so it's like, this is what it is. These are my wishes. This is what I want. And, you know, it gives me freedom, and it's going to relieve them, because I don't want them to suffer.
Yeah.
How I did. And it's, you know, it is what it is. You can have your, you know, if you're upset, that's on you. But
sure,
you know, it just is easier.
So, well, I'm really grateful that you are sharing this, because these are the pieces that a lot of people, in their own way, right? You even in your own way was like, this isn't going to happen to me this way.
Yeah.
You know? And then never thought it. And it has, it's literally taken you October. So almost, it was a full year for sure.
Yeah.
Before you were totally in control, because to your point, just to rehash for the listener, you had to change account names. Mm-hmm. And there were countless hours that you were on the phone getting access to accounts, getting accounts switched over, some people telling you, no, you can't do this because your name's not on the account. Yeah. It was a lot of work.
It was.
And so by having the right things in place, having your significant other's passwords, having accounts in, you know, joint names or in the estate names, that could have saved you a ton of time. Yes. While you were grieving.
Yeah, on top of that, yes.
On top of that.
And going through everything. Do you, let me answer this. I'm curious. Do you feel that a lot of people have separate things? Have you found out with married couples, or are there a lot of joint? Because I think in this day and age, there's a lot of separate accounts too.
And there are.
Because I had a girlfriend who went through the same experience with her husband, who was in the hospital on the same day. He passed 7 days after.
Oh, wow.
Stephen. And I am so blessed that I had the support too, you know, with everybody and everything that I had. And I guess she had nobody. Mm. And her husband, they had separate accounts. And so she was locked out of his. So she couldn't do a whole lot of stuff because of, you know, her name wasn't on those bank accounts and stuff.
Yeah.
So that, I'm just grateful that wasn't as how it is, even though Nevada is a, what do you call it? State, the
common property.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some, like the hospital wouldn't get me records because that was their thing, because they didn't want people to see what they did. You know, so there
were a future topic.
Yeah. So that, but yeah. So, and so now it's just really coming full circle that, you know, it's on my, I'm on my own in that regard. You know,
you are. Here's what I would say. Can you believe it's already 4 minutes to close?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that flew by, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. I totally just lost my train of thought. just full circle your journey. From a woman who 5 years ago had lost herself, had lost her voice, you at that time, even before this tragedy, took it upon yourself to say, there's more to life. I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to figure it out. And there were a lot of highs and lows in between.
Yes.
A lot of highs and lows. And that was the fight. That was the inner fight, your inner fight to make your life mean something. Here's where I was going with that. On the other side of Stephen's death, having done all of this work, you know, I, as your coach, friend, I'm not here to take the credit, because you have done the work to become the woman that you were always meant to be. You've done that work. And because of that, knowing your family as well as I do too, you have shifted the trajectory of your daughter's lives and your grandkids' lives. You have done that for your family because of the work that you've put in. And it was sometimes a struggle, I would say. And yes. With just a couple minutes to close, what do you want the woman who's listening to this, who is in your shoes, who was that woman 5 or 6 years ago that you were, what do you want her to hear from you today?
I guess it's just what is inside you, that little spark that you know, really hold on to that and believe it. And don't ever let that inner child go, you know, and just work on that and really go internalize, you know, what is in there, and just never give up. Just never give up and ask for help if you need help. You know, we can't do this alone, and we're not made to. As human beings, connection is it, and love, and just always work towards that and get out of your way.
Get out of your way.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, and just, you know, just whatever that spark is, just never let it die out and just keep going, you know? So that's, I think that was it, because I always have hope that it's never as bad. If you're anxious and that type of a thing, there's no need to be, you know, we have to just let things flow, you know,
let it flow.
Life loves you.
Life loves you. Perfectly said, Glenda. Life loves you. And I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for being my guest on today's show. I'm really grateful that you spent this time with us. I really hope that you've gleaned something from Glenda and her journey and her message. We barely scratched the surface, so we're going to have Glenda back sometime to talk about some more stuff. And I'm Lisa Chastain. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we've got a ton more stories like this and more coming. Continue to be on this journey with us. Let us know what you think about the show. We'd love any feedback you have. Thank you to my guest, Glenda, today. And we'll be back next week with a new guest, new topic right here on Real Money.
Thank you for listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. Miss the opportunity to call in but have a question for Lisa regarding one of today's topics? You can send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. We will see you next time.